Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. It is Arliyum Dalid Iyar. In Eretz Yisrael, they ushered in Yom Ha'atzma'ut a few hours ago already. This having the birthday, Tavshin Ayin Ches. Interestingly, this is the beauty of Jewish day. The real date of Yom Ha'atzma'ut falls on Erev Shabbos. Hey, Iyar, the day this day was declared actually back in 1948. It was also Erev Shabbat. It's a nircha, so to speak. It's earlier to minimize public Chilul Shabbos. So I do want to get to the Sefer today. Last week we did not get to the Sefer at all. I very much want to get to the Sefer, but just a couple of short Bli Neder vignettes related to today. It was Yom HaZikaron. I had a private session this afternoon with someone. We're talking about Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzmud in depth. It was an Arashir. She said, "You just want me to cry." So I said, "You know, no se ba'ol im chaveiro." I said, "You know, Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, one of the ways that Torah is acquired is to carry the burden with the friend. Hashem appeared on the sneh because imo anochi b'tzara." Said, "I don't want you to cry, but it's our chayis and responsibility to feel the pain of Achinu Bnei Yisrael." On the eve of Yom HaZikaron, 5770, 2010, less than a month after Eli Raz was killed, writes Miriam, "I was asked to write a piece about my feelings."
She spoke online.
There's a 5-minute video someone sent me of her. If you want to see it, I could send it out via WhatsApp. Yeah. Don't watch it in public. I was asked to write a piece, because it's very emotional, I was asked to write a piece about my feelings. Her son was killed Erev Shabbat HaGadol, Eli Raz. He left behind 4 orphans. This was the second son she lost. Uriel and Eli Raz. Uriel was the first son. "My life's joy and my heart's grief. Forgive me, my beloved children. Forgive me that I am here, continuing without you. Life grasps onto me. It grips me by force and it doesn't release me. I don't know why. Why me? I'm a mother like all mothers, hoping for her children's success, health, and safety. Afraid, worried, hurting. Forgive me, Uriel, my oldest son. This year, I won't stand beside your grave on Yom HaZikaron. I've done it for 12 years, half of them with Abba beside me, along with Eli Raz, who salutes you and shouts, 'My beloved, my brother.' I'm sure you know, Uriel, that Eli Raz, your brother, who you loved and admired, the one you always said was better than you, your brother Eli Raz has joined you. And this year I'll stand beside him because he needs me. He's new in your section. He has to get used to the dark, the earth. You know, I never played favorites. I always sat between the two of you. With my right hand, I stroked your golden locks, Uriel. With my left hand, I smoothed Eli Raz's kinky curls. A hug on the right, a hug on the left. Always together, one mother. And now I stand at a distance. 4 yards separate you from Eli Raz. I will gaze at you from behind Eli Raz's grave. I know you'll allow me. I hear your voice, Ima. My younger brother Eli Raz needs you. I'll be fine. I permit you, Ima, to be with Eli Raz for more time. But when you're finished, when you've poured out your heart, your pain, Ima, come to me for a little while, because I need you too. A mother's embrace is never forgotten. Maybe with me, Ima, you'll find some comfort. I'll give you a big hug. I'll tell you, don't worry, Ima, I'm here. I showed him the way. I paved the road. I'm here with Abba. Abba with his talit, his 2 hands stretched out towards our heads to bless us, me and Eli Raz. Yivarachacha Hashem v'yishma'acha. Yar Hashem pana v'elecha v'chunaka. Yisa Hashem pana v'elecha v'yasem l'chasham. And you, dear Ima, you must continue. The life of a mother for yourself, Avichai, Ali Asaf, Hadas, and Bat El, the other children. For Shlomit and Eli Raz's children, who I did not know. You must continue for me and for Eli Raz. And I, your Ima, will forever hear the voice bursting from your tiny cradle, your voice from your grave. I hear the lullaby you loved to hear before you went to bed. The light has been gone for a while. Don't leave me now as well. Come, Ima, come, Ima. Sit with me till I grow up. Hugging, kissing, loving, and continuing, Ima." And a different time, she was inspired by Seder night, and she wrote, "Two sons, one military plot, and one mother. Standing before them in silence, 2 sons, one military plot, one people, and one precious beloved land, one God, and one prayer. If only comfort would arrive." The Gemara tells us a famous story, Halavai, comfort should arise, the famous story about Rabbi Akiva, and it really does relate very much to our learning, which is learning on Amuna. And the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Samech, "Amar Rabbi Acha, Mishum Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Acha says in the name of Rabbi Levi, Ma'ikara, what does it mean? Chesed u'mishpat ashira lecha Hashem azamreira. Pasuk from Tehillim. Chesed u'mishpat ashira lecha Hashem. When you give me chesed, kindness, and when you give me mishpat, justice, I will sing to you. I will praise you. What does this mean? Im chesed ashira, if I will sing when it's a time of kindness, ve'im mishpat ashira, and if I'm dealt justice, mishpat, harsh judgment, I will also sing to you. What does this mean? So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nechamya said, it means, Bahashem al-halal davar ba'elokim al-halal davar. Quotes a different pasuk from Tehillim. Bahashem midas rachamim al-halal davar. When I have midas rachamim in life, I will praise. And when I have elokim in life, midas hadin, I will also praise. Bahashem al-halal davar zo midah tova. When Hashem hands me a midah tova, a midah of goodness, a measurement of good, Bahashem al-halal davar. Ba'elokim al-halal davar zo midah pur'anus. And when a person is dealt midas pur'anus, also, I will praise Hashem. Furthermore, Rabbi Tanchum says, "Kol sushos aso v'shem Hashem ekra." On the one hand, we lift the cup of salvation, we sing out to God. On the other hand, we lift the cup of pain and we sing out to God. So then the Gemara says, what should a person always say? Olam yehe adam ragil lomar. A person should always become accustomed to saying, called the Avad Rachmana, Latav Avi, that everything the Rachmana, the Baal Rachamim, the Ribbono Shel Olam does, the merciful one, is for good. And it tells a very, very famous story about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, but the reason I'm not reading the Lashon of the Gemara, it'll take me too long because it's Aramaic. So I could read it, but it'll just take me longer. Rabbi Akiva was once traveling along the road, and he reached a certain city, Ba'a Ush Piza, Lo Yahavele. He wanted to find lodging. The Ushpizan come to our sikkah. He wanted to find lodging, and no one gave him any lodging. So what some people would say, I can't find any lodging. This is the worst thing that ever happened to me. I've been traveling on the road. I'm totally exhausted. I need a rest up. All the hotels on the throughway are booked. How could I not have had a room? I didn't think to book ahead of time. It's Labor Day weekend. How am I going to keep going? No, Rabbi Akiva said, called Avid Rachmana Letal Avid. Rabbi Akiva said, okay, I can't find lodging in the city. That means whatever Hashem does is for the good. So he went and he slept in the field. He had a rooster, a donkey, and a lamp. What happened? The wind came, and what happened to the lamp? It blew out the lamp. Obviously, it doesn't mean a lamp. Like, we have a fire. A wind came and blew out the lamp. A cat came, Asa Shunra. What does that remind us of? Chad Gadya. Asa Shunra, Achela Letarnagola. A cat came and ate the chicken. Asa arye achle the chamara. A lion came and ate the donkey. Somebody else would say, not only could I not find lodging, but now all my possessions have been taken away. My lamp blew out, I can't see. My chicken that lays eggs, I lost the chicken. I have nothing. The donkey that I travel on, I lost the donkey. That's not what he said. Amar, Rabbi Akiva said, called Avid Rachmana. Kiva said, somehow, this too is for the good. I don't understand, with my short-sighted, limited vision, how it could possibly be good. It's one calamity after another. I can't find lodging. I lost the lamp. I lost the chicken. I lost the donkey. I can't go on. Babilela asa giyase shavye lamasa. That very night, an army came and captured the city. What would have happened if Rabbi Kiva would have been in the city? He would have been captured along the city. What would have happened if the army would have seen his light? They would have found him. If the rooster would have crowed, they would have found him. If the donkey would have brayed, Amar luhu lave amir luhu. Rabbi Akiva said, did I not tell you, kol ma she'osa ha-kodesh baruch hu, everything that Hashem does, hakol letova. It's all for the good. So there is a high level of amuna, which is what we all strive for, which is the understanding, the kol d'avad rachmana l'tav avid, even though I can't always see it, and even though with my short-sighted vision, I can't perceive it. And nevertheless, everything Hashem does is for the good. There's a very short video clip of Miriam Peretz. Someone sent it to me from a different class. She's like, I could hear you talking when I watch this. If anybody's interested in it, I could send it. I would see that's something. Let's say once I have the WhatsApp broadcast, not that the people online are interested in this, but once I have the WhatsApp broadcast, that's something that post-class I could just send out. You don't get it as a group. You get it as an individual person. It's very, very beneficial. Make sure your name is legible and your phone number is legible. So she has a video and she talks about the loss of her two sons. She says, no matter how tired Eli Raz was when he came home from the army, she says, he never missed a day in Beit Midrash. She says, never a day. There's some footage of him learning. She says, never a day in Beit Midrash. My 12-year-olds watched. That wasn't so smart. And one of them said, very, very sensitive soul, he said, I'm going to cry. So I said, are you sure you want to watch it? So they went to watch it. He came back 5 minutes later. sobbing. I said, why did you watch it? I said, I also cried, but you're too young. The pasuk says, in the klalos of Bichukosai, Vahashimosi ani es haaretz, I will destroy the land, it will be laid desolate, and the klalos, and the terrible punishments that will befall us. Vishamamu ala oiveha ayoshimba, that's not the pasuk I wanted to, yeah, Vahashimosi ani es haaretz, the land will lay desolate. So Rashi says, who remembers what Rashi says? When the Bichukosai, when the klalos come, and we're kicked out of the land, and the enemies take us into Galus. So Hashem says the land will lay desolate. So what does Rashi say? What do you think? Maybe. Should I tell you? You want to say, John? No. Zo mida tova l'Yisrael. Remember, called David Rachmana l'tav
David. Nobody will have the land. Oh.
So actually what seems to be bad, called David Rachmana, I can't find a place to lodge, and my rooster died, and my lamp went out, and I'm all by myself. No, the land will lay desolate. This is actually Midah Tova Yisrael. It's a benefit. It's a good measure. The Gemara said on that daf that we just quoted on that. One is Midah Tova, one is Midah Puranus. Nevertheless, Bahashem, Ahalal Davar, Zo Midah Tova, Shelo Yimtzu Ha'ovim Nachas Ruach Ba'artzam, that the enemy will not find Nachas Ruach, reward or pleasantness or success in their land. Shatehesho Meimam Biyoshveh. It's a bracha that when Knesset Yisrael is kicked out of the land, nobody else will benefit from the land. Eretz Yisrael is a unique quality. Not only are we a people of Amunah, but Eretz Yisrael is a land of Amunah. So I'm just going to quote two paragraphs or so from Rav Soloveitchik, and then we're going to our Sefer. The land of Israel cannot be built by just any people and any group. Only the Jewish people possess the capacity to transform it into a settled land and to make the desert waste bloom. This divine promise became a miraculous fact in the history of the land during various periods of our history. We must not forget the land draws the nations of the world, the Christians, the Muslims, like a magnet. The medieval crusaders were taken for the purpose of conquering the land of Israel and colonizing it. And all of the efforts of the crusades were in vain. And they did not take root in the land. Even the Muslims who were in the land did not succeed in colonizing it and settling it and cultivating it properly. Because those who exile the Jewish people and replace us as the residents of Eretz Yisrael will reside in a desolate land. They will starve because she will not give of herself to them. Our enemies drove our ancestors out of Yerushalayim. They set fire. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And all those years, they could not colonize or populate it. Har Tzion was desolate for a very long time. Har Tzion shashomeima shu'alim hilchubo, we say in Eicha. And despite many attempts, not a single nation, not one other people, ever succeeded in establishing the country. Many people were eager. It is a land holy to the Muslims. It is revered by the Christians. When we went to Eretz Yisrael a year and a half ago, Hasbun booked much later than me, so he was in a different part of the plane. So I was sitting next to, I was in the window, and a wife next to me and a husband next to her. They were a Christian couple in their early 70s from the Midwest, and they were lovely people, and I couldn't sleep. So I ended up telling them almost the whole flight. They were going to Israel for the first time on a missionary with their church, a church group. There were actually two very large church groups on our plane going to Israel for the first time. Their itinerary was from north to south, all the significant places in the Holy Land, in their Bible. She told me where they're up to in the Bible, in her reading group in church every week, what they're reading in the Old Testament. And I was so excited for her to go. I said, it's your first time? I don't know. I couldn't explain to her why it's so good. I said, the people are so nice. I said, the food is so delicious. I actually had her email address, and I followed up with her after just to ask her if she had an enjoyable trip. Nebuch, it was the week that the Arabs, if you remember, a year and a half ago, were setting fire. I thought this is their introduction to it. So they're going there for the first time, and this is what they're finding. The Christian right, though, they're very pro-Israel. They love Israel, but they can't cultivate the land. They can't build up the land. Tel Aviv was sand dunes. There were swamps. There was mosquitoes. It changed many hands. It was a land considered holy, occupied by many powers, by Rome, by Byzantium, by the Muslims, by the Crusaders, by the Muslims, by the British. It changed hands so many times, but agriculturally, industrially, scientifically, no one could develop Eretz Yisrael. And then in the 18th and the beginning of the 19th centuries, entire continents, huge stretches of land, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, were colonized by the British. The British went to other lands. They took desert country. They took jungle. Australia, New Zealand. I've never been. I heard New Zealand's one of the... Has anyone been to New Zealand? Oh, I remember when you were there. And how is it? It's supposed to be like unbelievable. Marbu Masach Hashem. Any place in Marbu Masach Hashem. There's a planet. I don't know if anybody saw the sliver of moon, the crescent moon outside now. And if you look down to the right, there's a planet that rises, like right over Shani's house, the moon, and then a planet that rises at night. I want to Google which planet rises in the eastern sky with the moon. Now, there's Marbu Masach Hashem all over the world. The world is beautiful. New Zealand's gorgeous. The British colonized it. There's something different about Eretz. So we're faithful people, and we don't abandon the Ribono Sholam, and Eretz so is a faithful land. And therefore, the Hashimosi Anias Haaretz, what looks like a klala, what looks like your rooster died and you can't find lodging, what looks like the greatest curse is a bracha. They took country, jungle, blossoming gardens. They brought civilization to pagans, and the same British came to the Holy Land. And they could not colonize Eretz. So could you explain this scientifically? Could you explain it logically? Could you explain it naturally? The same British, they were successful in other places. So what happened there? They couldn't. They couldn't get rid of the sand and the swamps and the mosquitoes. Why? It's a special land. An Eretz Chemda. What do we say in Berkas HaMazon? Eretz Chemda Tova Urachava. Sheresisu Michalta La'avosenu. With the exception of a small colony here and there, no one could colonize on a grand scale. Eretz Yisrael, all those years, remained a desolate land. Mark Twain goes there, he says, there's nothing here, there's no one here. It's a cursed land. It's not a cursed land. She waits. Eretz Yisrael waits, just like Knesset Yisrael waits. Or Salvechuk says elsewhere, the Hashgacha requires that the Jew have patience. He waits, and he waits. And every day he says, Ani Mami, what do we learn about here? What do we learn? Amuna. Ani Mami, by Amuna Shalema, B'Vias HaMashiach. Does it make sense that we're still waiting after 2,000 years? Does it make sense? What do the nations of the world say? You're crazy. What are you waiting for? That's what they say. Your God gave up on you. That's what they said in the Holocaust, Rahman son. Your God gave up on you. He abandoned you. We wait and we wait and we wait. And Eretz Yisrael also waits. Contrast this to the flourishing yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael. It's a young yeshuv in existence since the turn of the 20th century. It was in the late 1800s that the first wave of Olim left Europe. And yet see what has been accomplished. Apparently, there's a loyalty on the part of the land. She will never betray her people. She will not give herself up to strangers or to conquerors. She will save herself only for the people to whom Eretz Yisrael belongs. One of the torchlighters tonight was the grandfather of Naftali Frankel, right? Naftali Frankel. And another one was an elderly woman whose family has been living in Eretz Yisrael since the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Her family never left. My friend was there. She said she has the names and more information. She'll type at a different time when she can. One of them is Naftali Frankel. And what did he say when he was lighting the grandfather? Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim heim. And then right before they lit the torch, Lutiferet Medinat Yisrael. And then another elderly woman whose family has been in the land since the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And my friend, it's very sad. Actually, she didn't marry and therefore she doesn't have children. So now it stops. Over 2,000 years. Her family has been in the land. Eretz Yisrael is a faithful land. She will not give herself over to anybody else. Just like B'nai Yisrael are a faithful people, and we will not leave Hashem. What did you say?
There's a clip on Frankel also. She went into Yeshiva. I forgot her first name.
Mrs. On who? Frankel. Wait, start again, please. I didn't.
Rachel Frankel. There's a clip on her too. She went in and she said she wants the boys to sing to her. She went into one of these beautiful, her son's school. And she said that she wants them to sing for her. And they did. They sang a beautiful song in Emunah. And she was standing there just like crying. And, you know, they all sang to her. So, you know, there's just all these beautiful clips going around. You could really get it. They're all on basically on YouTube. For today, from today. In other words, they're all, you know.
There's one 2-minute video, and then we're going to go to the Sefer on page 103, please. There's one 2-minute video. Last night at the Knesset was the Yom HaZikaron ceremony, and they had what's called Shiram LeZichram, songs in their memory. And one of the girls who spoke, did you see, was the daughter of Elada Salman. Elad Salmon was killed at the Shalom Zachar for his nephew last summer. The terrorist entered the home and killed his father Yosef, his sister Chaya, and Elad. So since I mentioned it, you can see the video if you want. It's heart-wrenching. She's so brave, this little beautiful girl. And she keeps breaking down in the middle, and she has such tenacity and courage, and she wants to finish, her mother standing next to her. My dear Abba Al-Ad, I am proud of you, a little girl. She must be no more than 10, 11 years old. I'm proud of you. I admire you. You fought the terrorist until you no longer could, so we could hide. Abba, had you not stopped him, he would have reached us and Iman, the floor above. Who knows what would have happened? My Abba Al-Ad, you're proud of us, I know, and our hero mother who protected us. All five of us, we did not utter a word, even though we heard everything that was happening downstairs. My Abba Al-Ad, you will always be with me, in class, at home, in my heart. I miss you so much, my whole life, I will be waiting for the door to open. I will wait for you, Abba. I dream you're standing there. I run to you. You hug me tight. Abba, you will always be the best father in the world. I thank God for giving me such a father. I ask myself why my father, Alad, was taken away so quickly. Love you and miss you forever. Re'ut. But the watching her read the letter aloud, very impactful. Let's go to the Sefer. We are a faithful people, and Eretz Yisrael is a faithful land. Let's go to the Sefer, page 103. Does anyone have other thoughts or questions or comments on that part of the beginning of Rosh Year? Okay, page 103. Okay, so last week we did not learn the Sefer inside. We had a Hashkafic Shir post-Pesach on the tragedies that befell our community in Knesset Yisrael, and then it was Pesach. So we actually have not been in the Sefer for a little while. Okay, so working with Hashem, not alone. So now the Mechaber is going to introduce to us a new concept. And that is that even though we're working on our Emunah, sometimes we feel we're working on Emunah, but we're working on alone. We need to be working with Hashem to acquire Emunah. One of the things that Chaya, not Chaya Rothman, Mrs. Rothman. Who said something? Risa, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mrs. Risa Rahman says, she asked Hashem, and maybe said last week, to not let her become bitter. It's working with Hashem to acquire Emunah. At this point, we feel obligated to mention there is a particular problem with the way we have been presenting these principles. That's a little funny, so why are you presenting that way? I'm just making a little joke. I don't know. If one engages in precisely such thoughts and words, he's living alone. In other words, you need to remind yourself, where's Hashem? He's right with me. How often? Every hour. Every half hour. Hashem, you're right with me. But you're working on your Emunah essentially alone. He contemplates the fact that Hashem is doing everything. He knows his body doesn't sense into, his intellect does. He tries to instill within himself the truth. Everything comes from Hashem. So you're constantly reminding yourself, everything is from him. Everything is from him. Everything's from him. My husband and I, Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, at a simcha a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking to him, and you know, he wrote Parsha Parables, which is Divrei Torah on the Parsha with a parable. So he told us a story. And he said the story was there was a certain gathering of people. I remember the exact details. There was a certain gathering of people, and one of the speakers stood up, and it was Yiddish. Also, I don't speak Yiddish. Rabbi Kamenetsky said this part in Yiddish. The speaker stood up, and the speaker said, "Everyone says Hashem helps. I'm here to tell you, Hashem does not help." There was a gasp from the audience. What do you mean Hashem doesn't help? He says, I'm here to tell you, everyone says Hashem helps, Hashem doesn't help. So the audience was so flustered. And finally he exclaimed after two or three times doing this, Hashem doesn't help. Hashem does everything. And that is the key in instilling our Emunah, really. You know, so often we say, Hashem, help me do this. Hashem, help me do that. But Lamaisa, Hashem's doing everything. There's a medrash that a certain person wanted to bring a stone. I just saw again over Pesach. I forgot it. I didn't occur to me when I was preparing that I would say this, so I don't have the exact source. But Freifeld also speaks about this medrash, and then I saw it brought down somewhere else. There's a certain individual who wanted to bring a huge stone up to Jerusalem, and he couldn't bring the stone. So five workers came by, and they said, well, pay, you'll pay us, and he couldn't afford to pay, but he really wanted to get the stone up to Jerusalem very, very badly. So Hashem sends five malachim, angels, dressed like men. So the angel said to him, dressed like men, we'll bring the stone up for you. You have to put your finger on the stone. So really, is to put his finger on the stone? He can't get the stone up to Yerushalayim. Putting his finger is not going to help. So what does his finger show? He's doing his shtalus. But that gives you an idea of what we do. you try and push a train with a little finger. Okay, you put your finger to your chest. And what Hashem does? What's the answer? Hashem, the agents really bring the huge boulder up to Yerushalayim. I have to exhibit or put forth my hishtavus with the awareness that everything is really everything. Hashem doesn't help. Hashem does. As mentioned, while doing this, one says to himself something to the effect of, I know the only one who determines things is Hashem. We know that. He alone controls the world. He causes my hand to move. He guides the clouds, the sun, the moons, the heaven. A person takes one detail at a time. He develops it thousands and tens of thousands of times. So beautiful. I saw the crescent moon with the planet, and I was looking up, and you could even see the lighting, the way it is. You could see the rest of the moon. You know when you could see the crescent moon, but you could see the shadow of the rest of the moon? It doesn't just look like a crescent. So beautiful. And there's the planet underneath. And I'm saying out loud, as I'm walking from my car into Shah, I'm saying, Marbu Masach Hashem, you're so struck by Hashem does everything. But Hashem does all the things we take for granted as well. And we have to tell ourselves that thousands and tens of thousands of times. What is lacking is he's not working with Hashem, but alone. Look at this last, almost last line on the book. He has emuna in Hashem, but not with Hashem. And it's far better to do this with Hashem, not alone. Think of, I don't know, a child who wants to do a certain project. So he doesn't want help. So it's much harder when he doesn't want help. Is this a good mashal? I'm thinking of it as I'm going through it. He doesn't want help. He wants to do it alone. He wants to do it alone, but he doesn't realize that he really can't do it alone. And that's really us. We really can't do it alone. It's not enough to believe in Hashem. You have to believe that Hashem is working with us. It's a much closer level of intimacy. So I'm going to quote from this book that you so kindly gave me, the L'Ilui Nishmas, your mother. Yes. Thank you for the water.
Into our lives, to make him a part of our lives. Make him a part of our lives. He has to be like with us all the time.
Right. Like, well, he is with us all the time, but we have to remember that he's with us all the time. And sometimes that's hard. You know, so my son watched the video clip of Miriam Peretz. It was fine when she's talking about her sons. And she says, after Ariel, she says, and then my husband, she says, that wasn't enough. Then Eli Raz also, but she talks, she's a very high level of Amuna. You know how often I speak about her. Her Amuna is just tremendously high. She chooses to focus on the good and see that Hashem is always with her. So when my son came crying to the kitchen, I said, wait, did you watch the end? Did you see how she talks about her son learned Torah? He never missed a day. Her Amuna, he was very upset. I wanted to make sure he watched to the end of the video. And he said that he did. Sometimes for us on a lower level, it's very hard for us to feel Hashem is always with us. But of course, he is always with us. Sometimes we forget this. So Mechaber here is saying, it's not enough to believe in him, but a higher level is to be with him. One second. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Thank you. So the Rebbe of Kobrin once said, when a person accepts what Hashem does is good, that's how we began this year, he achieves more than any fasting or suffering could possibly achieve. The level a person achieves, think of Rabbi Akiva, at a high level he was. Now we're going through Sefiras HaOmer, the time when we commemorate Rabbi Akiva and his life, really. Knowing that everything that Hashem does is for the good achieves more for us than any fasting or suffering and any atonement. Although we attain atonement through suffering and aggravation, Rachman al-Latzan, we achieve even more when we respond by saying, Gamzu Latova, or Kama da Avid, Rachman al-Latav Avid. By the way, it's a higher level. Gamzu Latova means this is also for the good. But Kama da Avid, Rachman al-Latav Avid is a higher level. You're saying whatever the Rachman does, whatever Hashem does, is for the best. Not just some, this is good, but what Hashem does, acknowledging that it's from Hashem. Why are you making that face? Go ahead.
Because when I went to Menachem Aval last week, you know, it's very hard. It's a very hard concept.
Gamzu. Very, very hard.
Very hard.
Very hard.
Very hard. We don't understand, but to say Gamzu Latova, it's just very hard.
Very hard. Very hard. Nobody says it's not hard. It's an avoda.
Yeah.
Very hard. Very hard. Perhaps that's why you achieve the highest level of atonement. I want to say almost impossible, but it's not. The work Tamei Kuhuna describes how precious Amunah is. I'm quoting from Rabbi David Ashir. How precious Amunah is, and the magnanimous, what does it mean, like gigantic? magnanimous benefits it provides Amuna, interestingly, both spiritually and physically. And it's true, think about it, because your spiritual, emotional self affects your physical self, a person who achieves an inner level of tranquility will affect his external health as well. A person who lives with Amuna experiences less anxiety, less stress, he's healthier. This can be avoided, anxiety, through Amuna. Faith in Hashem is a cure-all. He has so much to give us, but it's the Amuna that brings blessing. We need to reinforce our belief that when things don't go the way we want, Hashem loves us. He gives us what we need. We say it every morning, Sha'asali kol tzarki. We say it every morning. And that's when I try and have kavana, and I think of not only the good that I have, but I think of the nisyonos I have when I say Sha'asali kol tzarki. The difficulties for me, and that's what I focus on when I say Sha'asali kol tzarki. It's not hard when you see the brachos to say Sha'asali kol tzarki. Yeah, sure, because you have brachos, so you say, oh, everything Hashem gave me exactly what I need. But if you think of the nisyonos, the difficulties, Sha'asali kol tzarki, it could increase your emunah. That's what I try for myself. I try for myself. Turn the page, please. For example, we mentioned the statement of Chazal. We mentioned this before. I know we discussed it last year. Ein Adam nekaf etzbo milamata ala imkein machrizin alav milamala. You don't bruise your finger down below unless a proclamation is issued from above. You might move your finger and say, who's moving the finger? I or Hashem? You could speak in this way, but you could switch and speak in the second person. Who moves the finger? I or you? Rav Gifter once asked his Talmidim Zatzal, what's the most important word in a bracha? Melech, some of them said king, Baruch, blessed. Rav Gifter said the most important word in the bracha is atah, you. Why? Because it denotes being with Hashem, a close level of intimacy, kavi acha, a closeness with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You might move your finger and say, who is moving the finger, I or Hashem? You could speak in this way, but you could also switch and speak in the second person. Who moves the finger, I or you, Ribbono Shel Olam? You'll be speaking directly with Hashem in the second person, not indirectly in the third person. So it's a higher level, it's a more intimate level. Your avoda must not be with a sense of separation. You must work on instilling Amuna together with Hashem, as opposed to merely thinking about Him. One second, I'm thinking of something. I'm thinking of something related to this week's parsha. In Parshas Tezriah, on the first of this week's Davar Parshios, so the Metzora is the person who has Tzaras. I'm thinking of this now because you have to work on instilling Amuna. Why did I think of this? Your Avoda must not be with a sense of separation. What does that have to do with the Metzora? That it says sense of separation. What does that have to do with the Metzora? Yes? Okay, so he separated between people. He caused a divide with his Lashon Hara, says Rashi, Bein Ish the Ishtu, Bein Ish the Re'ehu, Afhu Yibada. The Mitzora has to sit alone, Badad Yeshev, Bichutz Machana, which is exactly what you just quoted. He sits outside of all three camps. Rashi says Machana, all three camps, Machana Shechina, Machana Leviya, Machana Yisrael. Why, says Rashi, is the Mitzora different than all other forms of impurity that he has to sit alone? Why, you know, can't you just have a camp of people who have Tzaras and let them all sit together? Why would it be so bad? First of all, everybody would be there. It wouldn't be such a bad place. You would all want to get to the place where everybody has Tzaras, maybe Chas V'Shalom, if it would be a community. So we cause separation, so you shouldn't want to be there, solitary confinement, so to speak. But also, he caused the separation, says Rashi, between people with Lashon Hara. Therefore, Mida Kenega Mida, he is separated from everybody else. I was just thinking when I read this, perhaps the sense of separation and isolation forces him to focus on Hashem. And through that will come his rehabilitation. The speaking of Lashon Hara is in essence a testament to the fact that he forgot about Hashem. If Hashem is right here, okay, between us two people, if I really am cognizant that Hashem is with me right here, then how could I speak Lashon Hara to you, about you? How could I say to you something negative about her if Hashem is always here? If I speak Lashon Hara, it's in a sense denying that the Ribbono Shel Olam is right there. He's hearing me. He's right here. He's with me. So how can I speak about you when you leave the room? What does it mean? In some sense, I'm not cognizant of the fact that God is right there. So when we put him in solitary, badad yoshev michutz machana moshavo, And he grows his hair and he tears kriya and he grows a mustache. He used to like close his mouth proverbially and literally. He's forced to realize he's alone with Hashem. And realizing he is alone with the Ribono Shel Olam perhaps will facilitate his rehabilitation. Because at that moment, he's utterly alone. He's devoid of human beings, except when somebody passes by. What does he have to shout out? Tame, Tame Yikra. The only interaction he's allowed to have is to bring shame upon himself. He has to stand at the crossroads, and every time he sees a person, he has to say, I'm impure, I'm impure. The same mouth that brought shame upon other people now brings shame upon himself. But all the rest of the time, he's alone, and it's time for contemplation. There was no text messaging, and there was no Facebook, and there was no Twitter, and there was no WhatsApp. He was literally alone. And when he's all alone, he is alone ultimately with the Ribono Shel Olam, which perhaps that sense of separation. So now let's go back to the first sentence of paragraph 2 on page 104. Your avoda must not be with a sense of separation from Hashem. You understand? Being alone, separated from other people, forces him to come close to Hashem. You must work on instilling Amunah together with Hashem, as opposed to merely thinking about Him when He's all alone and there's no one else there. He has a chance to think, who am I with? Am I with nobody? Who made the tree that I'm sitting under? Who gave me the tzaras that I have? Who gave me the mouth that's able to speak? This way, superior creates Amunah and connection. You will instill Amunah while talking to the Creator. You will move your hand. Master of the world, Ribono Shel Olam, I feel as if I'm moving my hand, but I know you determined that I would move it. It isn't really up to me. This does open up a little bit our question of Bechira versus Yediyah. Yes, let's not even go there. I shouldn't even continue my comment. Move on. Okay. And this is how it should, I call Esther the group Shabbos. And this is how it should be with, it's a compliment. And this is how it should be with every aspect of contemplation. You will see clouds moving. Hashem, who's moving the clouds? Who put that planet under the moon? When the moon rose tonight and you could see the horse, the moon, it's such a beautiful, you know, we live in the city, there's so much light pollution. We get to grasp very, very little of what the night sky really looks like. But to see a planet right there, who put that there? Did the planet just randomly go there? I was talking to somebody today who told me a family member from the other side and her family, just not observant at all, not at all observant, came to America a long time ago, the family, not observant, and this person just believes that everything is coincidence. They don't believe that anything is divinely orchestrated, that everything is coincidence. There are many such people, and it's sad, and we have to daven that Va'aravna Hashem Al-Kanes Dereser Asucha B'finu V'yos Amcha B'Yisrael, that everyone should find a sweetness and some connection to the Ribono Shel Olam, but we need to look around us and we need to see a connection. The clouds are moving, the planets in the sky, there's a crescent moon, I could see the rest of the moon, the wind, I feel, it seems to my eye that the wind is moving the clouds, but in fact, you are the one who moves them. And then he says there are angels involved, but we should focus on Hashem, not on the angels. So I'm just going to end with a quote from Henny Machlis, if I can, given the time, 2 minutes, especially because we started a little bit late. If anyone did not sign, did everyone, before everyone starts, did anybody write their name and phone number?
I tried to add people on, but I know their numbers.
Fine. Did everyone write their name and phone number? Pass it down. Someone did not at them. I'm going to tell you after. Okay, ladies, it comes as a text. It comes as a personal text. It's not a group situation. Okay, listen to me. Please, I want to go on. I want to end with Henny. Ladies, if you were not here in the beginning and did not hear what I said, you must come to me after so I could explain to you what you need to do on your phone and how you're going to get the share notification. Henny's Torah teachings. You start doing 5 minutes of hispodidus. You're supposed to start with 2 minutes of praise. So when you do your 5 minutes of hispodidus, you should start with 2 minutes of shavach. What is shavach? What's praise? We began by talking about the Gemara that says, I praise Hashem no matter what. Look what you made, Hashem. You made the stars, the moon, the ocean, the trees, the mountains, the grass. You made every single ant and every single bird. And he says, I once stood at Rosh HaNikra. We began by talking about Eretz Yisrael, now we end with a vignette about Eretz Yisrael. You've been to Rosh HaNikra. I haven't been since I was a child. The blue waters crashing in the caves. It's so surreal. I once went to Rosh HaNikra, said Henny. I was awed by the expanse of the sea. Like a billion zillion drops of water. And I know that's not even a drop in the bucket of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Shavuach is expanding on Hashem's awesomeness. Hashem creates everything. This, this, and this. Me, you, everything we're wearing, everything we have, the floor we're standing on. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you should start with Shavuach, praise. Because if we start with Shavuach, we're going to understand how awesome it is that God gave us the speech we could talk to Him. And talk directly to Him, the Mechaber said. Don't talk about Him. Talk to Him. Not Hashem did this, but you did this for me. Not Hashem's going to help us. You are going to help us. The second thing is then 2 minutes after Shavuot, thank Hashem. Thank you, I can see. Thank you, I can hear. Thank Hashem for whatever you enjoy in nature, in the world. I thank you for my family, my friends, my clothes, my teachers, everything. I have shoes, I have earrings, I have glasses that are comfortable. Not that she has glasses that are comfortable. I have to thank Hashem for everything. And then the last minute is request. His bodus is 2 minutes Shavuach, 2 minutes hoda'ah, 1 minute bakasha. I want to marry a tzaddik, a talmid chacham. She's talking to her seminary students. I want to be a tzaddikus. Ask Hashem for whatever you want. Physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, mentally, anything you need. You want to be happier. You want to be holier. You want to be thinner. You want to be beautiful. You want to have success. Everything and anything. I want to watch what I say. I want to love myself. I want to feel your love, Hashem. I want to be davik. I want to cling to you. Everything and anything you want. It's the sense of enhancing our connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. So Be'ezras Hashem, we should be zochev to the final day when it will be all joy. It will not be very hard to say Gamzo Tova, because even to our finite, limited scope of vision, we will be able to see that truly Koma de Aved Rachman Letav Aved. So, as they say in Eretz Yisrael, in Medina Yisrael, I should say Chag Atzmut Sameach. Does anybody have questions or comments? A good Shabbos, and Chodesh Tov, and Besuras Tovas. Does anyone have questions or comments? Okay.